This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's a little after 4:30, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the Environmental Stewardship Fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm a sophomore at-large member of the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the Environmental Stewardship Fee, a $3.50 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $160,000 by the end of the 2015-2016 school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. So today we have on Megan Seifert, a PhD candidate, Mollican. She's a UK undergraduate, and Mr. Matt Noblin, a teacher at Sandersville Elementary, here to talk about a project that's being instituted at two elementary schools here in Lexington. So how are you guys doing?
Doing good, thank you.
Good, thank you. Thanks good. For having us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about it. Can you guys give me just a general overview about what this project is and how it's being implemented?
Sure. I can start off. So Sustainability Garden Science Program, which I might refer to as SGS here and there because it's kind of a mouthful to say a lot, is a collaborative program that involves both UK faculty and students, as well as Fayette County Public School teachers and students. And the main goal for the program is an educational mission. And what we're trying to do is to increase students' understanding of sustainability through a garden-based curriculum. Mm-hmm. And this is being implemented at two different elementary schools in the Lexington area, the Deep Springs Elementary and Sandersville. That's where Mr. Noblin is based. And so we really want to introduce the concept of sustainability, which is a pretty big word for a second grader, a big word even for me sometimes. And it's a complex and really interdisciplinary concept. And so our goal is to introduce this very early on and to link it to plant biology concepts and this sort of garden-based science curriculum. And so that's really the goal for the students. And we also, as part of this, are involving UK students because students may not get that many opportunities to get hands-on experience in an elementary or other school classroom. So getting applied skills, teaching science to the public, mm-hmm. which is a problem or just a difficult issue for researchers, young and old. So it's a really good opportunity, I think, to provide our graduate and student and undergraduate students. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Michaela and Matt have other things to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of piggyback on what she said. The same thing with the cool part about the project is really allowing all these people who are experts, from UK students to professors to even Miss Works, who works at PIMSR, mm-hmm. who's kind of a cooperative with University of Kentucky. Having all those experts in the classroom with the kids has just been, astounding. You're introducing a concept of sustainability, which is hard for even some adults mm-hmm. to understand, and you're going ahead and introducing it to kids at a young age mm-hmm. and the concepts of it. And they're so intrigued with the plant biology part of it that everybody's so good about interweaving the idea of sustainability, and they right now don't even really know that that's kind of the end of it, but every day it's kind of introduced in a small way to them. But yes, the project it's just been amazing.
Awesome. Can you guys sort of describe each of your individual roles within the project?
Sure. So I'm kind of the SGS program manager, mm-hmm. and that involves a lot of different things. I play a large support role, so mm-hmm. I work very closely with Miss Patty Works. So she's the SGS sort of curriculum specialist, mm-hmm. and we coordinate on some of the biological content, and she kind of makes it available and approachable in an elementary school classroom. And then I also generally try to make sure that we can all be in the same place at the same time with the resources that we need.
Mm-hmm. My role is mostly in the classroom and helping teach the lessons. We have like a little team and we all split it up. I also like help lead students through their investigation and answer their questions and kind of facilitate exploring what we're talking about further. And yeah, that's my role.
Really amazingly, my role, I'm more of a supervisor. Whenever we all get together and we spend a couple hours planning every single lesson for the month, and really the UK students play a huge role in actually implementing the material. Ms. Seifert, Ms. Works do a lot of the background, I mean, the communication, the inner workings, the scheduling. And in mine, I'll just kind of go through with the students and really look at where teaching second graders can sometimes be a challenge, trying to go through each lesson and plug in very small things of, you know, a small piece of advice of something you could do just where, or a piece of knowledge that kids might not have, because sometimes it's hard to gauge what they're going to know ahead of time. So then whenever they come in, I'll really almost be, you know, going around to each group, making sure the kids are, you know, just managing each one of the groups. And then, you know, like I said, just trying to more the educational of what's the best way to approach this for a second grader.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have mentioned that you're working with second grade kids. How did you choose, A, the grade, the students that you're going to be working with, and the two schools that you're going to be implementing this with? There are so many of them in the Lexington area. How did these two schools get so lucky?
Well, I guess there's two parts, and the grade level was really aligned to how the program started, which predates my involvement. Mm-hmm. So this is the second time it's been run, and the first time was last year, and that was run at Yates Elementary and mm-hmm. Mary Todd Elementary, and that was the first time it was run, and it was kind of hatched as an idea over time, as many things are, by Dr. Phil Crowley, who's the director of the Ecological Research and Education Center, mm-hmm. and he's also a faculty member in biology. And we share space at the Research Center with another group, which has a long acronym called PIMSR. It's Partnership Institute for Math and Science for Education Reform. I think that's mostly right. And it's sort of a natural connection because they do a lot of math and science-based teacher training and curriculum development. Mm-hmm. And through some discussions between Dr. Crowley and people in the PIMSR group, he wanted to develop sort of something for young children that was inquiry-based that had to do with ecology mm-hmm. And plant biology. And so through that, you know, they thought about doing a garden-based project because it's hands-on, it's engaging, it's kind of easy to dovetail into a basic experiment. Mm-hmm. And I think that the second grade implementation had to do with some of the next generation science standards mm-hmm. that seem to have a very good fit for this program. So mm-hmm. I think that's the first year in the Next Generation Science Standards where they start doing some experimentation, some really basic experimentation, like testing the effect of water and light and plant growth. Mm-hmm. And in kindergarten, I believe they get a brief touch on like human effects mm-hmm. on the environment. But, you know, that's really early on. So mm-hmm. this is kind of a nice age to get a deeper depth of understanding. And so I think that's kind of how that all gelled, is my understanding. And then picking the schools, I think that through the PIMSR connections, we kind of reached out to various teachers to see who might be interested, because it is a big time commitment mm-hmm. for everyone involved. And we also were trying to focus on schools that might need more support than others. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how those things got chosen.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So how did you personally get involved with this, Mr. Noblin? What was your sort of immediate interest in this, and why did you want that implemented within your classroom?
This is my first year teaching the science lab, the STEM lab at Sandersville. Mm-hmm. And I actually knew Ms. Works. I did my student teaching. She was when I did my student teaching 12 years ago. She was at the school that I was at, so I already had a natural connection with her. And I started going to some of the PIMSR conferences that they had, and she was the very first resource that I actually reached out to whenever I got my job. And so she was very instrumental in, you know, helping me to get everything organized. So with her being a part of this, whenever we first kind of whenever the project got kicked off, she called me and said, you know, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And whenever she explained it to me and I knew what all it would entail and how it would benefit the kids, it was a real no-brainer to get involved and do it. So knowing her previously probably did help out just a little bit, but I mean, it's like I said, the kids have just loved it. So I'm so thankful to all these people that they've spent their time coming out and helping the kids.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like a really big undertaking, so this is really impressive that, you know, everyone is handling this as, you know, well as they are. So why is this different from any other sort of curriculum that's out there? How is this building upon what the kids have already been, you know, taught at a basic level?
Sure, I can speak on that.
Sure.
The kids, it kind of talks, or Ms. Seifert hit on it just a little bit before, in that the kids at this point and this is actually the first year we've implemented these new next generation standards. Mm-hmm. So it truly is new for all kids across the board. But it is very inquiry based. Like that's a huge, huge push. Mm-hmm. And so kids are now being taught how they have to plan their own experiments. So teachers can't just give them the materials and say, you need to do step one, step two, step three. It really more is the teacher is more of a guide, mm-hmm. and the kids are the ones who are in charge of learning. And with this project, they've never really, second graders, I remember even our first lesson, they've never planned something before. So one mm-hmm. of the first things we did was start teaching them, how do you plan an experiment? And I remember them going through trying to figure out, well, what can we test? What can we not test? What's a testable question? And all of those thoughts are brand new to those kids, where they've really been spoon-fed a lot of the education that they have. And second grade really isn't age appropriate. It really meets them at the point of need that they have, mm-hmm. and their minds are really they're able to start digesting the information of opening up their world, kind of what is testable, what can I experiment with, mm-hmm. What are the possibilities. So this is new for all of us. So this project's new, the standards are new, and it was just a natural fit for second grade because there is a lot of plant biology there, mm-hmm. and with them not having any previous knowledge with plant biology, they've been able to really get caught up on stuff they might have missed in previous grades too.
Absolutely. So how do you guys see this project fitting in with the greater sphere of sustainability, you know, the three pillars, the social, economic, and environmental standards? Obviously, plant biology has a very big role in environmental yeah. standards, but more along the lines of, you know, social equity and economic growth, how do you guys see this playing into that?
Well, I think, you know, we touch, you know, we keep going back to plant biology because mm-hmm. that's where the science concept is linked into, but the curriculum really does engage students to think about this basic biological context in a way that relates to them. Mm-hmm. And that's through human resources. And that relates to food resources. It relates to how individuals impact their environment. And that's something that we hit on continuously throughout. And we really get them to think about what sustainability is. Mm-hmm. And there's probably not a very direct hit on the economic mm-hmm. side of it in terms of what we're teaching them, but I think it definitely crosses over to that. I think that we are also some of these very engaged programs, so we have all these students there. One of the goals is trying to connect with schools that are more in need potentially, mm-hmm. That don't have as many resources, and those are usually in economically underserved areas mm-hmm. that some of these concepts are very foreign, mm-hmm. And so that's a really important goal that we have with this too. So,
absolutely, yeah. And I mean, in a lot of those areas, hitting education with you know, children early on is a really big factor, and you know, yeah. community development as a whole, because they can get their whole families involved, mm-hmm. and it just becomes, before you know it, like before your eyes, this huge undertaking, and so it's definitely a really key part of that, I'm sure. So I kind of just want to go around and have each of you touch on what maybe is the biggest challenge that you've experienced in something of this size. It's, you know, quite a big project, so I'm sure that there's been something in each of your independent roles that's been hard, so.
Sure, I can start. And it's probably the least interesting challenge, which is maybe why it's the biggest challenge, is has to do with scheduling. It's, you know, because we have so many different participants, there's 14 people total, so there's two different UK faculty, there's the our PIMSR curriculum specialist, Mrs. Works, there's myself, and then there's undergraduate students, graduate students, County's teachers, and so finding a time that we can actually make this work. And one thing about this curriculum or this program is that it's not just one in-class session. It's kind of a holistic program, which involves installing this garden area, which has a, you know, a hoop frame, and then we raise these plants from seeds to where they, when they flower, they develop into fruits. It ends with a harvest, which we have at the end. So making that really gel between two different sort of school and work schedules, I think, is challenging. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges. Not that there aren't others, but some things like trying to figure out how to adjust the curriculum, I think, are some interesting and fun aspects that people are very excited about. And so while they might be challenges, they're more exciting to work on, I suppose.
Good problems to have, yeah.
Sure. But we've been able to make it work, and so I think it's, you know, it's off to a good start.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
My biggest challenge for the program, like I said, my role is in the classroom, teaching the lessons and answering questions. And Megan kind of talked about this earlier, but simplifying the complex subjects. Sustainability has a lot of things that go into it, and so trying to explain it to second graders that have never heard the word before is kind of hard. And also, plant biology, my major is plant and soil sciences. So plant biology is a lot more complex than plants need water and light. But you have to start somewhere. And so, and the kids are asking really good questions, and so it's hard to figure out how to to answer their question in a way that they can understand, but that will also satisfy their question.
Right.
So that's definitely been the biggest one, but it's also been really fun to learn how to do that and to see how excited they are when they do understand it. So it's been really cool.
Absolutely.
I would say by far the biggest challenge has been something that we is something that we can't control, and we do all this planning for our lessons, and then the weather has really not cooperated with us very much this year. So, you know, we spend hours, we spend 2 hours every month putting lessons together, and then they come in for 2 hours, and the kids spend countless hours putting the growing these seedlings, and then all of a sudden we take them outside and it freezes for two or three nights, and it almost kills everything. So we plan so meticulously for every detail, and it's almost been the obstacles are things we don't plan for. So you know, making sure that we were putting in the kids kind of put in some compost on top of it, and making sure that was put in right. And then, like I said, we've had everything from high winds to torrential rains to freezes. So we've already talked that it's amazing that the plants are still alive. They are still going. But, and some of them didn't make it, some of our really small seedlings, and I felt bad because the kids spent so much time really, I mean, making sure that they were taken care of and they had grown them from seed, but the freezes got them. So definitely the hard part has been unforeseen circumstances that we can't really control.
Definitely. So you guys have sort of indirectly touched on this, but what form do these lessons take? You know, I've heard of, you know, similar programs that might be like an after-school club or something, but if I'm not mistaken, you guys is like built into their school curriculum, like during the day and everything. So can you sort of describe how that came about?
Well, I guess I can't speak to the original planning of, you know, why they decided on four lessons and the length of them. There's a lot of material that's covered throughout this program, actually, and each each session is really jam-packed, and actually trying to work with second graders on that is also a challenge too. But I'll give you kind of the outline of how it's laid out. So there are four sessions, and they are about 90 to 120 minutes mm-hmm. each. And each school has a team, sort of SGS team members, right? And as part of that team, there's the science lab teacher, and there are four other UK students, mm-hmm. Mostly undergraduates, but some graduate students as well. And during the prep sessions, which are, you know, within a week before the actual lesson, that's when we sort of go over the lesson plan, which generally has between maybe 8 and 10 different activities. Mm-hmm. And so we go over that, and the students discuss with the teachers how best to do that in the classroom, and they take the lead. They decide who's taking the lead on those activities, mm-hmm. and that's how we kind of move forward with that plan. That's kind of the basic layout.
Sometimes Miss Works, because she's kind of the, she kind of mm-hmm. puts everything together yeah. for us. I mean, there's everything from, and there's no, not I would say rhyme or reason, but there's no set way every time, mm-hmm. but generally there's, most of the time there might be a book, like some type of small book that'll give information. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of small group work, so the kids will break up in groups of 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And now they've gotten to the point where they, within each team member, they kind of have a person that they go to. Mm-hmm. So even last time, like, we had the parts of the plant, so there were 5 different stations, 5 mm-hmm. different adults working. And then there'll also be usually some whole group stuff, like mm-hmm. where they'll do whole group lessons where some large concept gets taught, and then a lot of times they'll break down into smaller groups and kind of mm-hmm. go through and do something hands-on with it. And it generally, at the very end, we'll go out and do, I don't get to do it because I only have them for an hour, but at the mm-hmm. very end, go out and do something in the garden. Mm-hmm. So
mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah.
Whatever updates we have to do for it. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. So can you guys touch on some of the topics that are actually, you know, built into the curriculum?
Sure. There are a lot of different ones. So I'll kind of go over some basics, and you guys can
sure.
kind of fill in with what I've missed. So we kind of start off with just introducing the word sustainability mm-hmm. and getting kids to tell us what they think it means. And Ms. Works had an interesting story from the first year when this happened, that one kid responded and said that it was something that had to do with a stain on your shirt, which, you know, he's using the root of the word. And so it's really kind of getting...
Creative kid.
Yeah, exactly, right? You're just thinking outside the box. And so that's really the very first thing we do. And then every lesson has some tie back to sustainability. So we'll go through and I say we, because most of the students are leading these activities. So you can speak to this. So they'll talk about sustainable practices, and they'll kind of ask the students to describe, is this sustainable versus this? So there'll be a picture of something that's sustainable, you know, like reusing a water bottle mm-hmm. versus an image that's, a big pile of trash, or there's a lot of different types of images that we use. And so that's always involved. And then some of the biological concepts, like I said, we have the plant structures mm-hmm. and relate them to function. And so, you know, this is leaves, stems, and roots. And Matt just kind of mentioned that we would set up different stations for this. And so each UK student or team member would be at a station where there'd be a lot of plant materials, which we've gathered. And the students will come to that station. And sometimes they'll be taking notes at that station. And then we did model building, where they used, like pipe cleaners and random sets of materials to build a model of a plant. And that's synthesizing information into a picture, I think, is a really useful way for students to learn. Mm-hmm. And then we do planting exercises out in the garden, so they actually sort of see what does a seed actually look like mm-hmm. once it germinates. What happens? These are the roots and these are the leaves. What else?
I do know. This upcoming, I was looking over the lessons. Mm-hmm. I think we actually are getting into a little bit more sustainability because I think it has to do with pollination,
right.
And then getting into seeds, seed dispersal, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. how that's important for the sustainability of plants from generation
right.
to generation.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I do know that this, when I was looking over the lessons, there will be a lot heavier emphasis on sustainability. And the kids, with it being, we're calling it Earth Week, with Earth Day being on Friday, so all the kids coming through, we've kind of been able to hit on sustainable practices too, so it's been a natural for us to kind of build into the curriculum.
Yeah.
So, and in addition, you know, now we're able to, we've had such great lessons, it's actually able to go down to lower grade levels and work up to other grade levels too. So it has been something that we've been able to use, not just with the second graders, but we're going to be able to use across the board with kindergarten through fifth graders.
That's awesome. It's a really cool platform to get that out to, you know, the entire school. So what is y'all's long-term vision for this project in terms of its continuation, or in terms of just how you see this affecting the kids that you're working with?
Well, so the long-term vision in terms of the program, we would like to continue implementing it at a broader scale. It's something that we hope and we could envision being something that's a normal part of even the second grade curriculum and in all of maybe Fayette County schools. And so that it would be implemented over, you know, a five-year period where we'd have these teaching teams, and then this would be a curriculum-based resources that, that any teacher could have access to, either through printed materials or they could download it online. And they could use it in parts. It's a lot for one teacher to do the whole program for a whole spring, but having a connection point at one point in time and then them being able to follow on with those lessons in the future. And so that's one of our goals. And we also hope that this could be a model for even at the state level. So these the next generation science standards are happening right now in Kentucky, and they're happening nationwide. And I think there's a real need to come up with materials which are innovative and hands-on. And this is really, I think, an interesting one because it provides this additional connection with UK students, which And through talking with participants is also one of the huge benefits that people get out of it, is just being able to interact with students that are going to college and learn about what they're planning on doing and what their career goals are. And so I think that's another really huge benefit for us in that. So we're hoping to sort of come up with some larger scale funding sources. As you said, it's kind of a large project and involves a lot of people. And so to make it sustainable, we need to sort of target some larger either federal or state resources for that.
Absolutely.
And then work with, you know, Fayette County public school administrators and teachers to make sure that we can really make it work, to make it the best fit for everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what she said. It would be very hard to take the entire curriculum that they've created and be able to give it to just a regular classroom teacher. It'd be a lot to handle. But overall, definitely within each lesson, there's a core that you could take and give to somebody else, and they could implement it.
Yeah.
The project's been great for us because it's provided us, again, with experts in the field that we generally would not have, and also the resources. I mean, we've had the grow carts. That's something that we don't have money for in our science budget. So bringing those in and letting those kids have the experience, but the other grade levels seeing it, from the grow carts, that's something that I don't have the expertise to do, bringing in experts and having resources to do. So it's given the kids an experience. It's given the kids experiences and learning in a way that without this grant, without, you know, having all these people, it would never have occurred. It just wouldn't be something that we could do.
Absolutely.
So it really and truly has given them a great experience with the university and with the university students. It is. There's been so many different connections, like you said, of them being able to ask, what are you going to do whenever you grow up? You're going to do, they've got to build relationships with people that are out in the career. Sometimes the kids don't get as many connections with the career part of it. So, I mean, it would take us all day to list the benefits of what the kids have gotten out of it, but we hope next year to be able to do the same thing. I mean, that's the big thing, and it's going to impact the entire school because now we're able to use the garden and use the beds, and everybody's engaged with it. So again, just the resources and experts are something that we'd never be able to do without this project.
Well, that's all that we have time for today, but mm-hmm. thank you guys so much for coming on. This is an amazing project.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Best mm-hmm. of luck to all of you as it Thanks. Wraps up. So,
thank you.
Just to sort of take it out, obviously Friday is Earth Day, so there's lots happening. Earth Days in the Bluegrass calendar is still up on the website, uky.edu/sustainability. Tomorrow, the SSC is showing a film with the late night film series. It's going to be Happy People at 7 p.m. at Memorial. There's also going to be a climate action rally happening Friday, hosted by Green Thumb, and that's going to be on campus in front of POT at 11:50 a.m. That's going to be a really cool opportunity, so I hope that you all have a chance to make it out. And as usual, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Fee. You can find more info on the SSC and other related organizations at uky.edu/sustainability. And you can also find us on Facebook or follow us on our new Twitter, UKYSSC. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.